Thanks be to God. You may be seated. My name is Brett. I'm one of the pastors here. Happy to get to address you this morning, and we'll pray here in a moment to hear from God himself through his word. If you're here visiting with us, we're in a series through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews was written to a group of Christians. Seems that they came out of Judaism, and they weren't sure whether they wanted to continue being Christians. And so that's the context the author of Hebrews is writing to. So let me pray, and we will listen to these verses once more and try to apply them to our lives. Father, thank you for your great love for us, your great patience with us. Lord, we're thankful that your word does many, many things. Lord, one of those things it does is it challenges us. And through challenging us, you seek to change us. So we pray that that's precisely what you would do today, that you would change us, that your Holy Spirit would come, apply who Jesus is and what he has done to our hearts, and transform us from being immature people to mature people, people who hear the word of God and respond with faith, who get excited when the Bible is opened and others are talking about it, and when others are pointing people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that by your power, you would reveal yourself through my weaknesses and through the weaknesses of those who are here. That you would, Lord, prove yourself to be the only cause for celebration, the only reason we have to explain why we might be following you. In Jesus' name, amen. In December 2015, Stephanie Walsht was making headlines around the world. If Stephanie were to walk in here today, she would be very quick to let you know that she's 6 years old. She loves coloring. She loves playing with dolls. Her adoptive parents say she's like a younger sister to their youngest granddaughter, and they love watching the two of them play together. But most of us would recognize right away that Stephanie is a little different than the average six-year-old. She's 6 foot two. She was born in 1970. She had been married for 23 years. She has seven children, and she used to be a man. Now, leaving behind the transgender debate for a moment, we live in confusing times, confusing days with confused people, and some of us might be confused. So we need to be compassionate and avoid self-righteousness. But I think most of us would recognize that if you're 46 years old, and you're acting like a six-year-old, historically, across cultures, something is wrong. Something has gone wrong. Because we're meant to grow up. We're meant to behave like our age. So it's okay for my two-year-old to spend 2 hours on a project that consists of himself trying to fit himself into a cardboard box that is too small for him. If that's how I spend my time, that might be reflective of something wrong with me. That there would be problems. We're meant to grow up. It's good to grow up. We're meant to mature. We're meant to be less dependent on our parents. We're meant to be a little more self-sufficient. We're meant to be able to serve others. It's good to grow up. If Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 could be summarized really in two words, they would be grow up. So if the one thing we get out of this morning, if you're only looking for one thing, that's it. Grow up. Grow up. See, the Hebrews are known by this author. He knows them. He's met them. He's spoken with them. He's taught them. And they've been instructed in the truths and practices of Christianity before, but their development has stalled. They're not really growing up anymore. And now, see, we know what it means to grow up physically. We look at people and we see that happening. But what does it mean to grow up spiritually? How do we identify whether that's happening or not? Well, this passage in God's Word is going to help us. It's going to show us really two things. It's going to show us what it looks like when we don't grow up, and what it looks like when we do grow up. So, 2 points to this sermon, if you're taking notes. When we don't grow up, and when we do grow up. First, when we don't grow up. So as our children grow, all of us who are parents have experienced this. We take our child into a pediatrician, and every time, what do? They weigh them. They measure them. They check to make sure there's some sort of measurable growth. And if for some reason they're not growing, they're not putting on weight after several visits, they start to look for reasons why. What's going on? They look for an explanation. Something's unusual here. Well, verse 11 for us is going to give us an explanation of why we don't grow up. So when we don't grow up, it's because we're lazy listeners. When we don't grow up, it's because we're lazy listeners. Look with me at verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Hebrews wants to tell us, the author does, that Jesus is this great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is kind of strange if you're new to Christianity. What does that mean? But what the author is saying is these people can't handle that. He's going to instruct them on what this means, but he's first going after them. He's saying, you're not ready. You've become dull of hearing. Now, in the Greek, this doesn't mean that, they've been around lots of loud noises or they've gotten older and so their hearing is kind of going bad. No, it actually carries this meaning of laziness, of being slothful, as previous generations might say, of not putting any effort into listening. That's why they're not growing up. When we don't grow up, it's because we're lazy listeners. So there's a part that's calling to all of us, are we listening today? Are we listening to what God's Word is saying today? Are we listening to God's Word when we're reading our Bibles? Are we reading our Bibles? Are we listening to others who are speaking God's truth to us? See, when we don't grow up, it's because we're lazy listeners. What other descriptors do we have here that show what it's like when we don't grow up? When we don't grow up, we're lazy listeners. It also means we're regressing. We're regressing. We're moving backwards. Look down at verse 12 with me. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. We need to be reminded of the basic truths of the gospel every day. We need to speak the truths to the gospel to our hearts about how Jesus has come to save sinners. He's come and died on the cross for my sins. He's risen from the dead, that by faith alone, I benefit from that. And benefit from him. But there's a difference between reminding ourselves and needing to be taught by others over and over and over and over again. And see, this idea of again carries with it that's what they're doing. They're actually moving backwards. They're going backwards so far that someone needs to come in and teach them again, pull them forward. And so what's this basic principles that's being talked about, that's being talked about and said needs to be taught again? Most scholars think it comes down to verse 6, verses 1 through 2, this basic list. And what that describes is an infant Christian, one who has not grown up, is always asking himself or herself these basic questions. They should know. Does faith in Christ's death matter? Will God judge? Is there a resurrection? Now it's okay at times if there's little seasons of doubt where we need to investigate that, but if that's every day and you're thinking, well, now help me remember again, is Jesus important? I'm not sure. Probably We're not growing up. We're regressing. We're going backwards. So when we don't grow up, we're lazy listeners and we're regressing. What else do we notice about people who don't grow up? When we don't grow up, we are unskilled, this text says. We have no skills. Babies have no skills. No skills. They can't even burp by themselves. It's like, just burp, child. You got a stomach ache, let it out. But see, similar things are happening to us sometimes for the spiritual baby. Look with me at verse 13. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. That language, that word for child really means infant. So milk is good for babies. It's good that babies drink milk. That's a good thing. But if you go to the grocery store and all there is massive aisles of milk, because that's all people are drinking, some people are going to need a lot of toilet paper, first off. But secondly, there's going to be problems, health problems, dietary inefficiencies. So we need skills to handle God's word. We need the skill of being able to chew to handle solid food. We need the skill of being able to know that we need to take our fingers out of our mouths when we bite down, which some kids have not always learned. The question is, when it talks about unskilled in this word of righteousness, what does that mean? Does that mean not knowing the word of God, or does that mean not living a righteous life? The two are so intertwined that you can't really separate them. But it probably means not living a righteous life. You have no skills to know how to make good decisions, to live righteously, when to obey, how to obey. One of my historical heroes was an evangelical Anglican pastor named J.C. Ryle. He lived in the 1800s. He lived in England. His father was a very wealthy banker and paid for J.C. to go to what's known as Eton College, which is a public school, the equivalent of our private boarding schools. And Eton seeks to be the best school, and really has been one of the best in the world for several centuries. They try to be the best school for 13 to 18-year-old boys in the world. They've educated 19 British prime ministers, tons of royalty for England and other places, and it's widely regarded as one of the best schools. So let's imagine JC is sent off to Eton, and his dad comes to visit. Seventh grade. JC's first year, he's growing up, so proud of him. He's in algebra class in seventh grade. Pretty impressive. Great, man, I sent my son to the right place. Goes, JC comes home for summer, goes back the next year, dad comes and visits again. He's in algebra still. Maybe a little problem there, but he'll get it. He'll come along. Comes back the next year. Now he's in pre-algebra. All the other guys have gone on to geometry and trigonometry. What's going on with JC? Comes back the next year, he comes into the classroom, the math classroom, and the teacher is holding up flashcards. 2 plus 2 is? Good job, JC. 4, you're right. JC Ryle's dad would know something is wrong here. Someone is not growing up. What's going on? And the question for us is, are we growing up? Are we growing up? Are you able to look back at the months and years of your life and say, you know what? I'm a little different than I was. I'm able to think a little bit more in line with the Bible. And there are good days and bad days, but as a whole, you recognize, you know, I'm making some progress. Or do you make excuses? Sounds like there's some sound issues. I'm sure it's my fault. Let me know what I can do to help. Are you wallowing in where you are? Is everything everybody else's fault? After 10 or 20 years, do you still not really know the difference between King David and the Apostle Paul? They just seem the same to you? When you go to bed on Saturday night, do you realize you haven't prayed since the pastor closed in prayer Sunday morning? Do you need people to hold your hand through everything, every day of your lives? I can't make any decision without talking to a small group leader or a pastor. It's good to seek counsel, but over time, you should be trained. Do you make the same mistakes you made when you were a kid and you still find you're in neck deep of trouble every time you do? See, these are all symptoms that we need to grow up. They're all symptoms that we're regressing. And after some time, we're meant to be able to teach people about Jesus, this text says. Are you able to teach others why the cross is important? Why that changes the way you interact with people and the way you live? We should find we're being a little less selfish, thinking of ourselves a little bit less and our needs and thinking about others. And notice the tone of this. It's not real soft. It's a rebuke. Basically calls somebody a baby. You guys are babies. He's resorted, it seems, to name calling. Do you see that there are times in the Christian life where there's a place for confrontation? There are times where it's good for people to come to you and say, you need to grow up. I see this area of your life, and it doesn't seem to be characterized by love or faith. Do you see that? Do you recognize your husband or fellow Christians or your spouse or even your children at times can point out sin in your life and say, you know, I think you've got some work to go, and you're able to respond to that. If you're young, and by that I'm going to say below the age of 40, notice it's big enough so I'm young, our culture is telling us to not grow up, telling us to keep playing video games, don't seek good employment, don't lock yourself into a career or a house or a spouse. Those will just crush you and your freedom. And so what we're going to have, what we're starting to see, is we have a bunch of people who won't grow up. See, if you're young, you need to grow up. And one of the ways you'll start growing up socially is by being grown up spiritually. When you seek Christ, he will change you. You'll start to mature. You'll read the Bible. You'll want to be involved in the life of a local church. You'll want to serve. You'll want to give your life. You'll want to lay your life down for others. And it'll impact every area of your life. You'll start to grow up. Those of you who are not quite that young, are you growing up? Just because you're older doesn't mean you're necessarily mature. Are you seeking to finish well? Are you seeking to know God a little bit better? Love him a little bit more? Understand a little bit more of the way he wants you to live? Can you look back at the last 10 years and say, yeah, I'm growing up? So Hebrews is confronting us with our need to grow up. And he's given us and the author here has given us some characteristics of what it means when we don't grow up. So now let's look at what it looks like when we do grow up. So when we grow up. So again, physical growth, usually pretty easy to measure. What about spiritual growth? Well, when we grow up, one of the ways we know we're growing up is we will be able to handle more of God's truth. We will be able to handle more of God's truth. Look with me at just the very beginning of verse 14. But solid food is for the mature. So when we don't grow up, we need milk. But as we grow up, we're able to hear God's word preached like I'm trying to do to you today. And you're able to take it in, chew on it a little bit, think about it, internalize it, be nourished by it. That's what is going to happen if you're grown up. You'll be able to take in a little bit more, handle a little bit more solid food, and be strengthened by it. So when we grow up, we'll handle more of God's truth. What else? What's another characteristic of growing up? We will be able to think better. we will actually be able to think better. That seems helpful for all of us. Verse 14 again. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. When we're able to digest God's word, it will help us think better. We're able to know truth from falsehood. We know what the Bible will say about how to make friends, transgenderism, in vitro fertilization, justification by faith alone, godly marriage, employment, and everything else. When you're growing up, you'll be able to think better about every area of life. You'll be able to hear something said sometimes and say, that sounds fishy. I'm not sure that's right. And you're able to investigate it and say, yes, that whatever that person said is not in line with the way God wants me to live. And at the other side, you'll be able to hear someone say, yes, that piece of advice is very helpful. And the ESV translates this phrase with constant practice. It takes practice to mature. You can't take a whole lot of days off and be growing up. Imagine if a child just said, you know, the last 6 years have been a tough one. So I'm going to take a sabbatical off of growth, Mom and Dad. So I'm just going to skip year 7 and just jump right into year 8 in a year. We would look at our 6-year-old stalled in growth for 6 years, or for a year, and wonder, man, no, you actually, since you're not becoming more like a 7-year-old, you're starting to become more like a 5-year-old, 4-year-old. See, grown-up Christians are able to think better. So when we're growing up, we're able to handle more of God's truth, and we're able to think better, and all of that for the purpose of what it really means to be grown up, and that is to know the difference between good and evil. When we grow up, we'll know good from evil. Look again at verse 14, the whole verse. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Do you know good from evil? History is a series of people who either do or do not know the difference between good and evil. Mature Christians will be able to make good decisions, knowing what good and evil is, regardless of popular opinion, regardless of what our culture might say, regardless of even our emotions. We're able to control them. We'll be able to say, no, we'll be able to come alongside somebody who's struggling with this way as we're maturing. We say, here, let me teach you a little bit. Let me teach you why that's the wrong way to live, and this is the right way. And be able to say, stay away from those people. Stay away from that practice. That's evil. It's going to pull you away from Christ. And that's really what the author is at here. He's recognizing that these people need to be connected to Jesus Christ, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. And that leaving that high priesthood, leaving that one high priest, is evil. And anything that drags us away from Jesus Christ, no matter how good it might seem, is evil. When I was a little kid, and since this is Mother's Day, I'll tell a story about myself with my mom. I remember being at the Spokane Fairgrounds with my mom for some sort of convention of some sort. I think it was a quilting event, so I'm sure I was really happy to be there. And when you're 5, I think I was 5 or 6, when you're about that age, what you realize is you don't necessarily recognize people by their faces. You recognize them by their legs, because that's all you do is you follow legs around. So as I'm following my mom around this crowded place, my mom was probably looking at something, and I started following the wrong pair of jeans. I didn't know the difference between Levi's or Lee's or Gap or whatever. And I probably wasn't very long, I looked up, and the upper body attached to the legs had changed. I was following the wrong set of legs. Well, see, these Christians now are being tempted to follow the wrong pair of jeans, or really the wrong priestly garment. They've thought back to what that priest, those priests in Judaism looked like, said, yeah, I want to follow that set of legs. See, I want to follow the Levites, not Jesus, the high priest in the Melchizedekian line, which we'll talk about again in the future. So why would that be evil? Thankfully, I was found, obviously, and not still there. But when you think, why would following the wrong set, why would being immature be a problem if our goal really is to finish a race? Well, let me ask you this. Who's going to more effectively get to the finish line? A trained marathoner who has looked at the course ahead of time, knows where he or she is headed? Or the two-year-old who can't make it to the mailbox and back without stopping and looking, oh, that's shiny. Let's look at that. Oh, there's ants over here. Oh, let's go play with that windmill over here. Who's going to make it to the finish? The mature one or the immature one? So if we continue to spend all of our time and money on toys, playing, we're probably not growing up. We're probably not going to make it to the end. Growing up is crucial to persevering to the end. So can you recognize evil? When the news tells of human trafficking, of school shootings, of lying under oath, and drug dealers that are leading people to their deaths, do you just kind of shrug it off? Say, darn. Or there's something in you that says, no, that's evil. That needs to stop. There's something wrong. But see, here's the thing. If there is no God, there is no evil. Because a mass shooting is destroying really worthless people. No different than an antibiotic is destroying worthless bacteria. And that's scary. And we all know that there is a difference. That's God reaching out to his image bearer saying, there's something wrong, you need me. So when we have our money stolen, when our kids are bullied, when our friends are attacked, we recognize it's not just another day. Something evil has happened. Do you recognize it? But how about these more subtle ones? When somebody shows up at your door with a suit and tie and a name tag and says that someday, if you are like the Jesus that they talk about, you'll be God. Do you recognize that that's evil? They tell you, you just don't need to rely on Jesus so much. Rely a little bit more on yourself. You recognize that's evil. When your boyfriend or girlfriend is controlling you in the way you spend all of your time, and whenever you do something that rubs them the wrong way, they get really furious and threaten you. And then they say, well, you know, the reason why I do this is because I love you so much and I just care about your well-being. Do you recognize that that's evil? The person doesn't care for you. When someone says to you, Jesus never spoke harshly with people he disagreed with. He just loved them and was kind to them. First, you should ask them, have you read the Gospels? Because Jesus called people vipers, hypocrites. Are you able to say, you know what? When they say, if you say you follow Christ and you make all this big deal about these so-called sins, you're just intolerant. Are you able to recognize the way they define tolerance might actually be evil? It might actually be harmful? It might actually lead people to hell for eternity? Are you able to do that? When your heart says, you know, life at home has been tough. my wife and I, we haven't been seeing eye to eye. The kids have been taking a lot of work. But this lady, my office, she really listens. We really understand each other. You know, she gets me. Maybe this is what people are talking about when they talk about soulmates. Are you able to say to your heart, no, that's evil? For growing up, we should be able to do that. All of these things can reveal that there are some areas of our lives that we need to grow up. All of us need to keep growing up. I need to keep growing up. I've just been really convicted the last week and a half of how little faith I have. Look back and I think, do I really have a stronger, more mature faith than I had 15 years ago? I need to grow up. And all kinds of things can lead us away from Jesus, our great high priest, and keep us from growing up. Are you able to recognize them? Can be good things. So we need to attach ourselves to Christ. We need to read the Bible regularly. We need to be with other Christians. We need to have people examine us at times and say, yeah, no, I see growth in you. See how the local church is important. Be encouraged. You also see that there is a place for rebuke, as I mentioned earlier. It says, man, come on. You know better than that. Let me help you. We'll pray for you, but come on. Let's go. Stop spending so much time on your phones. Stop spending so much time binge-watching Netflix. Get to know Christ better. Pray to him. Talk to him. Read good books. Imitate people around you who you see as mature. That's really helpful. But here's what's really interesting. Every other religion in the world is going to tell you, to be right with God, you need to be mature. And there is truth to that in this passage, for sure. But the author is addressing people he really considers believers. So here's what's really amazing. Every area of our life, we're looking at people, what we can get out of them. We go to that grocery store so we can get something. We make this conversation so we feel good about ourselves. But what's really interesting is when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't die for people who are perfectly mature. He died for children, for infants. So we know he's patient with us. But he is calling us when the cross comes and changes our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens is we recognize, I want to be like my Savior. This last week I was thinking about, I was in the kitchen with my son. He's 2.5. And he says, I was boiling water, I think. He goes, Dad, can I help? Can I help? And I'm kind of like, you know, buddy, you can't help right now. But what I recognized was this. If you're really the child of God the Father, you'll be asking yourself, can I help? How can I be like you? How can I further your kingdom? How can I tell other people about how great my dad is? And if you have no interest for that, maybe you're not a child at all. Need to repent of your sins and trust him. Today, many of you are mature. Some of you are mature and you have all the really sensitive conscience and you're just thinking, oh my gosh, yeah, have I grown up? You have. But do you recognize that there is a place here for teaching others, if that's you? Do you recognize that you should be teaching others about Jesus, about how he transforms you and transforms others? He's changed your life. And that might be informal context, like Bible studies, small groups, things like that. But it should at least be informally towards your neighbors, your coworkers, your children. Are you teaching them a little bit as you're maturing? God will help you. See, if we're stuck in diapers like these people are, if we're still drinking bottles, if we don't know that there's a difference between sticking a fork in a potato and a fork in an outlet, there's problems. Us. There's something wrong. If we don't want to grow up, we want to be a Toys R Us kid. something has gone wrong. If we're middle-aged and we want to live like a six-year-old, something has gone wrong. We need to grow up. And here's the great news. With God's help, we will. We will. So let me transition now to partaking of the Lord's Supper.